The book of Colossians, chapter number 1. The book of Colossians, chapter number 1. I'd like to read again verses 13 through 20 of Colossians chapter 1. I read all those verses last night. We began looking at four attributes of our Savior that Paul the Apostle spoke of in those eight verses. We only got the first one of the four attributes that Paul spoke of last night. We only got through one of them, and that was that Christ is the Savior. We saw that in verses 13 and 14 of the book of Colossians chapter 1. Tonight, I'd like to go through and read those eight verses again. We'll only get to verses 15, 16, and 17 tonight. Tomorrow night, if you'll come back, Lord willing, we'll finish the last three verses, verses 18, 19, and 20. I'd like to go back and cover a little bit of what we talked about last night and kind of tell those that might not have been here the reason for the letter that was written to Colossae. So we'll begin reading at verse number 13, read down through verse number 20 of Colossians chapter number 1. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord this evening. The Bible says in verse 13, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head." I like that He is, don't you?
Yes, sir.
"And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." What was the reason for the letter written to Colossae? Let's go back and talk about that for just a few moments. From the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse number 1, it convinces us that there are many in Colossae that have not seen Paul's face. In fact, Paul has not been to Colossae. Back in the book of Acts, if we read Acts 13 through Acts chapter number 28, it is Luke's account of Paul's biography. You will not read in any of Paul's three missionary journeys where he visited Colossae. And I hope it's all right to go back and go over this just a minute, because I believe these that weren't with us last night need to know the reason for this letter. I truly believe that this we know about Colossae because of the church that was established there. I'm going to give you some names. In the book of Philemon, around verse number 2, it speaks of a man named Archippus. Most theologians believe that Archippus is the son of Philemon. And we know that those 25 verses in Philemon was written by Paul from Rome. That letter was carried by the slave that Philemon once had, named Onesimus, and taken back to him. Archippus, many believe, from the book of Colossians, chapter 4, around verse 17, that Archippus was the pastor up at the church of Colossae. All right, how did this letter get there? What is the reason for this letter? In Acts chapter 18, 19, and 20, we find that Paul visited Ephesus, which was on the banks of the Aegean Sea, which was about 100 miles from Colossae. During Paul's second trip to Ephesus, Acts 19:10 says they had such a revival at the church of Ephesus that the word of God went throughout all of Asia. Toby, that's amazing to me. That is amazing. That would be like us saying that all of North Carolina has heard the gospel because of Mount Carmel Baptist Church.
Yes, that's right.
That is a humongous statement. I'll be honest, what saddens me in our day and time is that there's a lot of people that live in sightseeing distance of our churches, and we've never told them about Jesus.
You're right.
Visited a man one time. He stood in his driveway and he pointed to a large church that he could see in the distance. It was not the church I was pastoring at the time. He was pointing to another church. He said, "Preacher, do you see that church right there?" I said, "Yes, I do, sir." He said, "I lived here X number of years. I think it was close to 20 years. He said, "That church has never came and told me about Jesus." He was a lost man. And I tried to win him to the Lord. But I want to tell you this. He knew enough about the things of God. He said, "Preacher, I can't get saved right now." I said, "Why, brother?" He said, "God's not dealing with me. God's not dealing with me." It troubled me over the fact that if that church that he pointed to in the distance would have come when God might have bent their heart, it might have been at that time that God would have dealt with him. I want to tell you, Ephesus was on fire for God, and all of Asia, in a 2-year period, they covered all of Asia. I've thought about that, and I've thought there wasn't a person that you would meet and say, "Can I give you a gospel tract? Can I tell you about the Lord Jesus?" And they would probably say something like this: "Those boys from Ephesus has already been up to my house. They've already told me about Jesus.
Right.
They've already told me about the one that bled and died and rose again that I might have life and have it more abundantly." Most believe that you'll study behind. Most believe two very important men in Colossae, probably that had a lot to do with the starting the church, probably got saved during that time that revival was breaking out. Their names: Philemon and Epaphras. Philemon and Epaphras. Epaphras is mentioned in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 7. When Paul is at Rome in prison, it is Epaphras that comes from Colossae and comes to where Paul is. He says, "Paul, there's things going on in that church that ought not be going on." Listen closely. Let me tell you what was going on at Colossae that did not please God. They were trying to accommodate everybody. They were trying to okay everything. I want to say thank God for a church that will stand on the Word of God. Stand on the standards that God has given us to stand on. And by the way, if we stand on the standards that God has given us, there's going to be times as men of God, as pastors of these local assemblies, that we're going to have to say, "Nope, we ain't doing it that way. Nope, we're not letting that creep in. Nope, we're not going that route." You say, "Preacher, don't you want to be like the church up the road?" Nope, I sure don't. I want to be just what that Bible says I need to be. I want to conduct my church just like that Bible says I'm supposed to conduct my church. I'm supposed to preach just like that Bible tells me to preach. And we're supposed to live not by the church up the road standards, but by what the precious Word of God tells us to do. Are you with me tonight?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. So the Bible tells us that Epaphras comes and tells Paul. Here's what he tells him. I told you a little bit last night. I'll tell you the rest of it tonight. He said, "Paul," he said, "there's Jewish legalists that have come up there and try to tell us that, about the works of the law, that we need to go back." Those were called Judaizers. It wasn't just Colossae that fought against Judaizers. If you read the book of Galatians, chapter number 1, you don't even have to get through chapter 1, and you can already tell that Judaizers are coming back in. Because, see, here's why everybody hated Paul. He preached salvation by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. It is the gift of God, not of works,
lest any man should boast.
Hey.
And when he preached that, he was hated by many, especially the Judaizers, the Jewish legalists. Aren't you glad it's not by the law anymore? Aren't you glad Jesus was the fulfillment of the law? Aren't you glad, yes, the law did come by Moses, but thank God grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Epaphras comes to Rome. He said, not only are there Jewish legalists that are trying to bring us down and hurt the church. And by the way, if you know God at all, you'll be able to pick up on things that are trying to hurt the church.
You're right.
I want to say thank God for Epaphras. Amen. It ought not just be the preacher. Now notice, I told you that Archippus, the son of Philemon, was probably because, here's why I tell you that. Paul in Colossians 4:17 encourages Archippus in the ministry that he's doing in Colossae. But I'm glad, Brother John, that it wasn't the preacher that had to run to Rome. I'm glad there's somebody other than the preacher that knew something was going on there at the house of God that ought not be.
Right.
You believe what you want to, but I believe old Archippus stood right with Epaphras.
Yes.
And I believe Epaphras stood with him, and I believe he said something like this: preacher, you've got enough on your plate. I'll run to Rome. I'll tell Paul, and I believe God will touch him and send us a message by the Holy Ghost that will help us down here at Colossae.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Epaphras came and said, it's not just in Jewish legalists that's bothering us. It's Eastern philosophies that are creeping in. They did not want to recognize God as creator. They said things like this: all matter, all creation is evil. Why would a holy God want to have any part? Surely a holy God couldn't have created all this evil matter. And surely a holy God wouldn't want to touch or come to this world and touch any of this. They denied the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Look up here. Yes, I am a Baptist, but I'll tell you what I am. I'm a fundamentalist. You say, preacher, I'm not a follower. I'm a fundamentalist. I believe that Jesus came in the flesh.
Yes, sir.
I believe Jesus died vicariously. I believe he died for every man, and I believe he just didn't die for my past sins. I believe he died for my past, my present, and my future. I believe he rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. I believe he's a coming back one of these days on the clouds of glory. I'm going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and I'll ever be with the Lord. And I believe that Bible right there is the inerrant, infallible, eternal, holy word of God, which doesn't need anything added and doesn't need anything taken away.
Amen.
I believe those are the five fundamentals that a man needs to believe. Here's what I'm saying. There's different places in the Bible you and me might differ on. And we might in those areas be say it's all right to differ. But I promise you, them five fundamentals, I'm going to differ with you. If you say, well, I don't know about that virgin birth, I'm going to say, brother, I love you, but you're dead wrong.
Yes, Mom.
Are you with me?
Yes.
I believe that's how we ought to stand.
Yes.
I believe on those five fundamentals that I just mentioned, his birth, his death, his resurrection, his soon coming, which is the rapture of the church, and his precious word, I don't believe we ought to bend on it. I don't believe we ought to waver on it. I believe we ought to stand on it with both feet and say anything that comes contrary to that. I'm going to stand on that which is right. I'm going to tell others coming against me that are differing with us on this that they're dead wrong and the Bible is right.
Yes.
Aren't you glad Jesus is wrong or Jesus is right for whatever is wrong in this world and in our lives? Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
I would say this, and this was my title last night, and here's part two. I sure am glad I know who Jesus is.
Yes,
sir. Epaphras said this. He said, Eastern philosophy's creeping in. He said, they even have pagan astrology. Oh, they think it's the powers of the stars, beings that are in that control us and make us do things. I want to say I know who put the stars up there.
Amen.
And I know who's counted.
Yeah. Yes.
I got Bible for it. I'll tell you in a few minutes. I know even who's named them. Praise the Lord. So these things were creeping in. And Paul sat down and began to write the letter to Colossae. And here's what he does in chapter 1, verses 13 through 20. Brother Toby, he gives four attributes of God because he wants them to know who Jesus is. A man needs to know. A woman needs to know. A boy and a girl needs to know who Jesus is. That's the only way you get to God. That's the only way you'll go to heaven. That's the only way you'll be forgiven of your sins. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that.
Hey, yes.
Last night, here's what we looked at. Here's what Paul began to write. Verses 13 and 14, Paul said, you tell them this. Jesus is the Savior. He is not a way to heaven. He is the only way to heaven. He told us in verses 13 and 14 that He has delivered us or rescued us from the power of darkness. And thank God, He has brought me into His marvelous light.
Yes, sir.
Oh, there was a time I loved the darkness, and so did you. We was like Paul the Apostle. But one day, that man Saul of Tarsus came down to Damascus Road, and he said, I don't remember a whole lot, but here's what I do remember. A great light shone down of heaven and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You say, preacher, what happened to Saul that day? He got delivered. Well, what do you mean he got delivered? He went from the darkness to the light.
Yes.
You say, well, how did that happen? It was Jesus that rescued.
Yes, sir.
Bible said not only, verse 13, has He, Him as Savior, has He delivered us from the power of darkness, but He's translated us into the kingdom of His church. Can I tell you who's coming? The King's coming.
Yes, sir.
The King's coming.
Hey.
You and I and Toby, we preach the gospel of the grace of God.
Yes, sir.
But John the Baptist, he preached the gospel of the kingdom. Mm. He did. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. 12 disciples, they preached the gospel of the kingdom. Those 70 preached the gospel of the kingdom. Those two witnesses in the tribulation will preach the gospel of the kingdom. Those 144,000 Jewish evangelists in the tribulation will preach. Don't get afraid. I'm preaching Bible to you. They're going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Huh?
Yes.
The king is coming. Preacher, what do you mean? It's one of these days I'm going to rule and reign with Him. Where, preacher? In His kingdom.
Yes.
Luke 1:32, He shall sit on the throne of His Father David.
Yes.
Matthew 25:31 calls it the throne of His glory. And we're already kings and priests already. We're going to reign. I like what that thief said.
Yes.
Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And when we get there and he sits upon the throne of David, I'm glad that old thief will be there. Everyone that's saved, Jew and Gentile alike, will be there and we'll praise the Lord for all those years. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
All right, so he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. All right, then what do we have? What do we have? We've got it, and it's got us.
Right.
Redemption and forgiveness.
Yes.
Redemption, we've been bought, and we've been paid for. How have we been bought and paid for? By the precious blood of the Lamb. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness. But because of that blood, thank God, I am bought, paid for, and sealed with the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption.
Yes.
All right, now we come to verse 15 through 17. Jesus, number one, as last night, yes, the Savior. Number two, Jesus is the Creator.
Yes.
Jesus is the Creator. So I want to look very quickly at verse 15. Let's begin in verse 15. The Bible says in verse 15, who's speaking of Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Let's look at the first part. Who is the image of the invisible God? I looked up that word image. It is the Greek word akos. Icon. Icon. It's spelled E-I-K-O-N. The image. It means figure or likeness. Paul said it again in 2 Corinthians 4:4. He said that Christ is the image of God. You say, preacher, I'm still not getting it. Let me take you to John 14. John 14, Jesus has told them, my Father's house are many mansions. Jesus has told them, he has said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Philip answered and said, in John 14, 8, he said, show us the Father and it will suffice us. Show us the Father, Jesus, and it will suffice us. And here's what Jesus said, have I been so long with you? Have I been so long with you? Attention. Haven't you listened to my words? Oh, I want to say, church, we need to pay better attention to the words of Jesus Christ. I want to say, thank God that Jesus repeats himself to us. I want to say, thank God he tells us the messages sometimes more than once, because there's many times we're not listening. There's many times we're not watching. We're just as what Philip said. Philip said, show us the Father, and it will suffice me. It will satisfy me. It will make me content. And he said, Philip, look here, buddy. Look eyeball to eyeball with me. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yeah.
You've seen me, you've seen the Father. I want to say a word or two about the name of God throughout the Bible. Would you stay with me right here for just a minute? The name of God throughout the Bible. Let's talk about his name in Hebrew and in Greek. Genesis 1, Creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Stay with me now. God, in Genesis 1:1, is Elohim. It's his name as creator. If you go to Genesis chapter 2, verse number 4, it now puts L-O-R-D before God. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Lord, in all caps, is the Hebrew word Jehovah. We call it Jehovah, but in the Hebrew it does begin with a Y. Jehovah means, get this, the existing one. It is Jehovah, it is his saving name. Anybody know God? By his saving name.
Yes, sir.
Hey, and when he put that Lord on there, it kept God on it. So he put Jehovah and Elohim together. Come into the New Testament. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 1 where the Bible talks of Jesus? Joseph will have the dream in Matthew chapter 1. Here's the first time God's mentioned in the New Testament. I believe it's around verse 23, but I have to check. It says that a virgin would conceive and his name would be called Emmanuel. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Emmanuel. Listen, listen. And it means God with us. You remember what I'm talking about?
Yes.
I believe it's Matthew 1:23, somewhere in there. Emmanuel, God. God. First time God is mentioned in the New Testament. It's not Elohim. It's not Jehovah. It is this Greek word, Theos. T-H-E-O-S. Theos. I like that word.
Yes, sir.
You say, preacher, what does Theos mean? Listen closely, and you're going to catch where I'm going real quick. It means the Godhead. It means the Trinity. When he, oh, you're still not getting what I'm saying, and I'm trying real hard. When Philip looked at Jesus, and he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I am Theos.
Yes.
You say, preacher, I'm still not getting it. When they looked at him, he was God the Father. Jehovah. He is the existing one. He is Elohim. He is the creator of this world. But He is also Theos. Look at Colossians 1. Is it verse? You'll have to help me. Is it verse? Let me look quickly. Let's look at Colossians 2, verse number 9. Colossians 2, verse number 9. I want you to look at it. For in Him. Somebody tell me who I'm talking about.
Theos.
For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. Say it out loud. Bodily. If you see me, you see the Father. I and the Father are one. He spoke when He spoke about the Spirit coming into the life of the believer at the moment of conversion. He says, here's what it is. When a person gets saved, it's me and the Father in the person of the Holy Ghost coming and setting up shop.
Yes.
This is the word He used. He said, we set up our abode in mankind. You know what I got living inside of me, Brother Danny? I got Theos tonight.
Yes.
I got God the Father. You say, preacher, how do you know? I called Him Abba Father. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I even tell my baby boys. I say, boys, here's how we're going to say. Our Father which art in heaven. Yes, I was once a wild olive branch. Yes, I was once an alien of the commonwealth of Israel. But now I cry, Abba Father.
Yes.
He'll never not be my daddy. He'll always be my daddy because I've got Theos.
Yes.
Inside.
Right. Hey.
Preacher, that sure is strange. Yeah, but it makes for good preaching.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hey.
He is creator. He is the image of the invisible God. I'm thinking of Hebrews 11. You don't have to turn there, just listen to me. I'm thinking of Hebrews chapter number 11. I'm thinking of Moses. Moses' account in that great hall of faith. That's what we call it at Vertonghen. We call it that great hall of faith. That great hall of faith where Abraham is mentioned. That great hall of faith where Noah is mentioned. And Joseph is mentioned. And so many others. But then we get to Moses. And it says things like this of Moses. It says that he would rather endure afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy pleasure and sin for a season. You remember what I'm talking about? Because we know he was born a Hebrew. He was raised an Egyptian. And at 40 years old, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he went to the land of Midian. You remember that?
Yes.
You know what the Bible says about him? He saw Him who was invisible. I can't remember what verse I'd have to look. He saw He who was invisible. You say, but preacher, the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, around chapter 34, that Moses saw God. He saw the hinder parts of Him. But God said, no man can look on my face and live. But He said, there's a place by me. Now, I don't know how you look at that, but that sounds pretty close to God.
Yeah.
A place by me. And it's in the cliff to the rock. Wouldn't you like to have been there that day? That'd have been a beautiful day.
Yes.
He sat there and I can see Him in the cliff. And God passes by, Brother Tommy, and He puts His hand over it. Just to have that hand right there is a whole lot.
Yes, sir.
I guess that was pretty much revival right there.
Amen.
And when He got by Him, the Bible said all of the glory of God passed by. And now that right there is a mouthful too. You think about it. I sure have tried to give Him glory, but I've never heard all the glory.
That's right. That's right.
There's no wonder He come off that hill shining.
Yes.
He had heard all the glory, but not only that, He had seen the hinder parts of Almighty God. Now listen to me real quick. He saw Jehovah.
That's right.
He saw Elohim. He saw the Creator. He even watched Him take His finger and write in the tables of stone the Ten Commandments. Must have been some kind of day. But He did not see Him face to face. But now we come into the New Testament. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. The angels are out there in the shepherd's field saying, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. I've got good news. Them boys didn't have to look at the backside. They got to look at God face to face.
Yes, sir. Hey.
Oh, they didn't go look at the backside of that baby.
That's right.
They went and looked at God face to face.
Hey.
Do you know why? Because he clothed himself as a man.
Yes.
He put on flesh. You know why he put on flesh? I'll tell you. But yes. Romans 8:3. So that he could condemn sin. I'm about to get excited on preaching. So he could condemn sin in the flesh. Listen to me very closely. Sin had condemned me. Condemnation was on my life. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, shall no flesh be justified. I looked at the law. It would not set me free. I was going to die, but God clothed himself in flesh, came to this world. Say, take a good look. He's God walking around out here.
Yes.
Went all the way to the cross. His life was not taken, for he was God. He had the power to lay it down. He had the power to take it back up again.
Yes, amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Woo!
Oh, had the power to lay it down. Had the power to take it back up again. And at that cross, he turned the tables on sin.
Yes.
Sin had condemned me. Sin had told me I got to go to hell. And I got to burn forever and ever to pay for my sin. Because Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. But thank God, I'm glad that verse don't end with the wages of sin is death.
That's right.
But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you know why? Because Jesus is God. He's Elohim. He's Jehovah. But thank God he's also Theos. And he came, he bled, he died, he now has the keys to death and hell. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
And he has now condemned sin in the flesh. Who is Jesus? Look up here. I know who Jesus is.
Yeah.
And I don't say that a boast. I say that by grace.
Yes.
I am what I am by the grace of God.
Hey.
Look up here. I know who Jesus is. Oh, he is Creator.
Hey.
He is the Savior of this world. He is the image of the invisible God.
Hey.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
You've seen me. Oh, in the beginning was, I'm getting ahead of myself. The Word was made, and we beheld His glory. That Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. I see that centurion saying, they might not all believe who you are, but I know who you are. If you just speak the Word, my servant will be healed.
Amen.
Jairus come up here and said, everybody down the house is a life in me, because they don't believe you are who you say you are. But Jairus said, help me at church. Help me, I'm trying to preach to you. He said, I know who you are. He said, if you go down to my house and you'll grab my little girl by the hand, I know what will happen. You let the rest of them laugh at other thief was over there cussing his breath, his cussing his last breath. He was saying, if you think you're God, why don't you get off that cross and get us off there? That other thief said, hey, why don't you shut up over there? Hey, I was a cussing him for a while, but I think I know who he is.
Yes.
He's Alpha and He's Omega.
Yes.
He's beginning and the end.
Yes.
He's the first and the last. He's the one that's going to destroy this temple, and in 3 days He's going to raise it up. Lord, when you come into your kingdom, can I go with you? You know why he said that? Because he knew who Jesus was.
Yes.
Aren't you glad you know who Jesus is? Well, my outline shot now. He is the image of the invisible God. The image of the invisible God. I want to move on in verse 15. He's the firstborn of every creature. Listen, stay with me. All right? Please stay with me. He's the firstborn of every creature. I said this last night, and we'll say it again. He is not God's first created being.
That's right.
Because you cannot take the Trinity of God and separate. You cannot take the Trinity of God. They are all in one. I'm going to give you this. Go home and study this now. At the tabernacle, back in the spring, preached from Galatians chapter 1. There's two words in that chapter. It is the word, there's one word in that chapter used twice. It's the word another. Another. Every time you see the word another in the Greek, it does not mean the same. Listen closely. This will help. Paul spoke in Galatians chapter 1. Here's how he worded it. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that had called you unto another gospel, which is not another. How many of y'all believe there's just one gospel?
Amen.
Amen. You're looking at a man who believes there's just one gospel. There is not another. All right? If you look at the word another, you've got two different Greek words. You've got the Greek word heteros. Heteros. H-E-T-E-R-O-U-S. Heteros. Then you've got the Greek word allos. A-L-L-O-S. Heteros, allos. Both of them, English word another. Heteros means one of a different kind. One of a different kind. Allos means one of the same kind. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
All right, now John 16, I believe it is. I believe you also can find it in John 14. Jesus said, I've got to go away, but I'm going to send a comforter. Anybody remember that scripture?
Yes.
What did he call that comforter? Another comforter. If you look it up in the Greek, it is not heteros. It's allos. Allos means one of the same kind. Gotta go back to Colossians 2:9. For in him dwelleth all of the Godhead, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Do you believe that when they were looking at Christ, they're looking at God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
I believe that. I believe that God the Holy Ghost is the presence of God Himself. He is in the presence of the Spirit. I cannot see Him, but yet I can know He's with me.
Yes.
Does that make any sense?
Yes.
That is Theos. He is all of that wrapped up in one. He is the firstborn of every creature. He is not God's first created being. He is God. What does firstborn mean then, preacher? Prior to all creation. He is prior to all creation. Listen to this. I told this to my wife this afternoon. I said, how does that sound? That's what I'm going to say tonight. She said, it sounds like she gave me an amen on that. Listen to this. He created all, so therefore he is uncreated.
That's right.
Yep. She gave me an amen on that. Yeah. He created all, so he is uncreated. He is the firstborn of every creature.
That's right.
All things are made by Him, and without Him is not anything made that was made. In these verses that we're going to get into in verse 16 and 17, all things are from Him, they are by Him, thank God they are for Him. I want to tell you this, creation is not an evolutionist.
That's right.
You didn't hear what I said. Creation knows the Creator.
You're right.
Creation will never not recognize the Creator.
That's right.
Oh, preacher, I don't believe you. All right, there's one day that Peter denied the Lord for the third time, and God nudged the rooster and said, why don't you do some crowing? And he said, yes, sir. There was one day, you're laughing at me, but you know it's the book.
Yes.
There's one day that Balaam was going to go do something that's going to get him in big trouble. And God spoke to a donkey and said, why don't you talk to that fellow? You're a whole lot smarter than he is. No wonder that the winds and the seas obey him.
Yes, sir.
No wonder they looked at him in Matthew 8:27.
Right.
That even the winds and the seas obey him.
That's right. That's right.
When that dove left the ark, he knew exactly who had given him the orders.
That's right.
He went out, he came back. Eighth time, Noah sent him out again. And the Lord, no doubt in my mind, ain't something about the Mount of Olives, ain't something about an olive branch. That's a message in itself. But that dove did exactly what God wanted that dove to do. And I heard an old preacher say one time, the next time we see that dove, he, by the power of the Holy Ghost, he's flying into the Jordan River, he's lighting upon Jesus, and John's a hollering, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world."
Yes.
God took a raven. Think about a raven. You know what's in that? The nature of a raven. The nature of a raven is to steal. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
The nature of a raven is never to give, but to take.
Right.
Oh, but I got a story for you. It's in the book. 1 Kings 17.
Yeah.
Elijah the Tishbite sitting down at the brook Cherith. And here's what the Lord says. Don't you believe Elijah might have scratched his head a little bit? He said, "Now here's what you're going to do." He said, "You're going to break out of that brook right there, and I've commanded the ravens to feed you." Now, can you hear the devil? Elijah, did you just hear what God said?
Right.
I believe the devil might have said this. Elijah, if he had said a dove, I probably could have guaranteed it's going to happen. But a raven? Y'all look at me funny. Please, think about it.
You're right.
But a raven? Raven ain't going to bring you nothing. A raven has never brought anybody anything. And by the way, I never read again of a raven bringing anybody anything. But I'll tell you what creation does. There's never going to be a time that creation is not going to recognize the Creator.
That's right.
Because creation is not an evolutionist. Creation knows, you listen to me. That big old tree could talk to you out there. If that river flowing down through Spruce Pine could tell you a testimony, it would say, "I did not occur by a big bang, but somebody spoke me into existence. You know what that creator did? He fed Elijah with the ravens.
That's right.
I got another one for you. Book of Samuel. Hezekiah's sick. Hezekiah's sick. Second Samuel chapter 20. I'd have to look. Hezekiah's sick. Isaiah comes and says, "Set your house in order, you're going to die. Turn his face before pray. God adds 15 years. Here's what Hezekiah says. He says, "How will I know? How will I know?" Isaiah said, "Well, I got an idea. Would you want the Lord to put the sun 10 degrees that way or 10 degrees backwards?" He said, "Well, what thing is it for the Lord to dial the sun 10 degrees that way? Let him dial it 10 degrees back this way." And you know what creation did? That sun said, "Yes, sir, Lord, whatever you want."
That's right.
And that sun stepped back 10 degrees. Do you know why? Because creation knows who's in charge.
That's right.
Creation knows he is the firstborn. Creation knows he wasn't created. He was the one that did all of this.
That's right.
And thank God he made a beautiful place before man messed it up.
Yes, sir.
But I got good news. Whatever man has messed up, God can fix it. You say, "Preacher, you sure about that?" Yeah, I was convinced of that the night I got saved. Romans 5:20, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound.
Yes.
Where man had messed it up, where Adam had plunged us into sin, thank God Jesus had more grace than there was sin. Hallelujah.
Right. Yes.
And the sun came back 10 degrees. I'm trying to convince you tonight, he is the Creator.
Yes.
You say, "Preacher, is that important?" Yes, it's important. Because if evolution is true, we're not getting worse, we're getting better. Think about it.
You're right.
If evolution is true, Jesus died a fool at Calvary.
That's right.
If evolution is true, we don't need a Savior. We're doing fine ourselves. But I got news. Man ain't getting better. In fact, the longer I was lost, the more that old account grew and grew.
Yes, sir.
The old account was large and growing every day, for I was always sinning and never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead and saw such pain and woe, I said that I would settle and settle long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and my record's clear today, for he washed was settled long ago.
Amen.
Man's not getting better. Man's getting worse. You're here tonight. You're lost. The account is longer than it's ever been on you. But I know one that can settle the account by what he did at Calvary. Evolution is a lie. There is a creator. Book of Joshua. Then I'll try to move on. Book of Joshua. Joshua is fighting the Amorites. This is after Jericho. This is after Ai. This is after the Gibeonites had come up there and made a league with Joshua and the children of Israel. I believe it's around chapter 10, but I have to look, preacher. But the Bible says that there was five or six armies coming together and fought against the Israelites. And old Joshua got up there and got the fight. I'm glad he knew the Creator.
Yes.
Here's what he said. Lord, I need a little bit longer day today. So here's what I'm going to say. Son, stand thou still in Gibeon.
Yes.
I feel something on that.
Yes, sir.
Son, stand. The Bible says there was never a day that God regarded the voice of man like he did that day. Son, stand thou still in Gibeon. And he not only spoke to the sun, but he spoke to the moon. He said, moon, I would that you'd stand still in the valley of Ajalon. It's in the book of Joshua. Come to me after church, I'll show it to you. And you know what God did? He said, son, I would that you'd stand still. Moon, you park it right there where you're at too. That's in the original. And you know what the sun and the moon did? They didn't move.
That's right.
They didn't move. Do you know why? Because he's the firstborn.
That's right.
Every creature. He is creator. He created all, so therefore he is uncreated.
That's right.
Boy, he's a big God.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm glad I know who Jesus is.
Amen.
The world would have much to differ with me tonight, wouldn't it? But you know this, if we've got Bible to back up what we say, we ain't got no room to back up.
That's right.
Tell them what the Bible says about your Creator. Let's move on quickly. Verse 16. You say, oh Lord, we're going to be here all night. He's only to the second verse of 3. I'm trying to hurry. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. I want to say this. Sure is beautiful what God has made visible to me.
Amen.
I have visited some beautiful places. I'm sure some of you have visited some beautiful places. But can I put it this way? It's real bad English, I know, for a former school teacher. But we ain't seen nothing yet.
That's right.
Oh, we ain't seen nothing yet. No wonder I'll have to have a glorified body. I'll have to have a glorified body to be able to view. Oh, the Son of God, the beauty. You say, heaven's going to be beautiful, preacher. Yeah, it is. But you know what's going to make it so gorgeous? I'm going to look on the face of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Paul was called up to the third heaven.
That's right.
In 2 Corinthians 12. But he talked about things that he heard. He said, I heard unspeakable words, which it's not lawful for a man to utter. One of these days, I'm going to do more than just hear the songs of Zion. I'm going to do more than just sing in that mighty heavenly choir. I'm going to see that which has been. Oh, I like this verse right here. Is it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Now we look through a glass dark.
That's right.
Is that 1 Corinthians 13? I believe it is. But then. Oh, hallelujah. I'm waiting on then. Ain't you?
Yes, sir.
That'd be a good message in itself. The thens of the Bible. You quoted that verse tonight. If my teacher would you call my name, son, then. I'm waiting on that. But now we see through a glass darkly. But then.
Yes.
Face to face. For we shall see Him, because we're going to be like Him. We'll see Him as He is. Let's read on in verse 16 very quickly. And that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created by Him and for Him. Listen to this. He existed before creation. He is uncreated. He wanted a creation. He created all things, and all things are by Him and for Him.
Amen.
Don't you look at that? Thrones, dominions, principalities or powers.
He has created all things. He has set everything in place just like He wants it. I want to tell you about my Creator tonight. He ain't never been shocked. He's never been confused. He's never been taken by surprise. He knew exactly the one that was going to be in Washington tonight before the foundation of the world. He knows what's going on. He has set thrones in place, dominions in place. By the way, I got a verse for you. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1, the Bible says the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. God knows exactly what's going on in the United States of America tonight. And by the way, it's heading down the path that He prophesied it would.
Yes.
Because He's created all things. I'll tell you why. Those, and that word dominions means government. Did you miss that? Do you know that word dominion means, I'll say this, it don't shock God who's where they are.
That's right.
And by the way, you might get upset with me. I don't have my confidence in those in earthly thrones and earthly dominions.
You're right.
It ain't going to get any better from the world standpoint.
That's right.
Do you believe that?
Yeah.
But every day it's getting better and better for the church.
That's right.
Because I'm not looking for the next one that gets in the White House. I'm looking for the one that's coming on the clouds of glory.
That's right.
I'm looking for the Creator. Oh, if you're so in anticipation of it getting better and the economy reviving or whatever, and it might, I don't know. In fact, I believe it'll bottom out at the end. I believe it'll bottom out before the rapture. Because I believe that's why this world will take the hold of the Antichrist.
That's right.
That's another topic. Don't leave on me on that right there. All right, stay with me just a little bit longer. But I do believe God set everything in place. I don't believe God is shocked tonight. I believe God knows where all those people are. He has it in His hand.
That's right.
He knew Pilate would be in the spot that he was. Pilate said, I've got the power to release you. Jesus said, I'm just summarizing. I'll tell you how much power you got. You ain't got any if my Father wouldn't give it to you.
That's right.
I want to tell you about the power of Washington and of Raleigh, North Carolina.
Right.
They wouldn't have any if God didn't allow it.
You're right.
I believe that.
Yes, sir.
I believe that's who we're serving tonight. Aren't you glad you're on the winning side?
Amen.
Aren't you glad you know who Jesus is?
Amen.
Let's read on very quickly. Let's read on very quickly. I feel like I need to go to 17. Let's go to 17 and we'll close down tonight and pick back up tomorrow night. All right, preacher, Lord willing. Verse 17, and He is before all things, and by Him all things, say this word, consist. Consist. I got to give you this word. Listen close to what I'm going to tell you. It is the Greek word sunestemi. Son estemi. I'm trying to say it by the syllables so that I can pronounce it. I wrote it down by the syllables. Son estemi. It means to place together, but it also means to hold together. If you read Psalms 147:4, it will tell you that He has put the stars in the heaven and He has named them. He has numbered them. Do you know why they're not falling out of heaven tonight? And I know there's such things as shooting stars. You know why they're up there tonight? God's holding them.
That's right.
Think about that sun that is 93 million miles away. Do you know why the earth don't get any closer to it tonight and us just burn up just like a little firecracker? Because God is holding everything in place.
That's right.
That's that word consist. It means it's because of Him that He's holding everything together.
Yes.
Here's something. Now, I wasn't a science teacher. I was a math teacher. So don't fault me for what I try to do right here. Thought about atoms today. Atoms. All matter. Right? All matter made of atoms. All right? You remember school. That's how to do those atoms. Okay, in the nucleus of that. What's atom? It's the basic building blocks of what all matter is created, right? This table, these chairs, even me and you, atoms. Is that right?
Right.
All right, you have a nucleus. You have positive and negative. You have positive protons, negative electrons. Then coming around that from all angles is electrons, right? I heard of
a school teacher that began to show a class this. Okay? And the class began to look upon it. And they saw all the space within it. And it's just like it was out in space. And one child asked, I hope you get it. What holds all that together?
Yes.
Did you get it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Go home. If you got a computer, Google atoms. Got that little ball and all those electrons. Everything's moving.
That's right.
And the little child asked such a simple question, but one that would stump a whole lot of college professors.
Yes.
What holds all that together?
Amen.
You know what the answer is? God. By Him, all things consist.
Amen.
Here's how I want to end the service tonight. It's only 15 or 9. Let's turn to Psalms 148. Here's how I want to end the service. I've tried to share with you and convince you that He is the Creator. Creation wants to sing you a song. We ended on a song last night.
Yes.
Let's end on a song tonight. Is that all right with you? I'd like to read to you creation's song. Creation would like to sing you a song before we leave Mount Carmel Baptist Church tonight. Psalms 148, I'd like to read all verses. You listen to creation. Tell you that without a doubt, there is a Creator. There's only one. His name is Jesus. And I believe this is the title of creation's song. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Listen to this song. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all ye His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens. And ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For He commanded and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth. Ye dragons and deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalted the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto Him. Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus is the Savior of the world.
Yes, sir.
Jesus is the Creator of this world.
Yes.
I'm glad I know who Jesus is. I want you to come back tomorrow night with us. I'm getting ready to give it to your pastor. I want you to come back tomorrow night. I want us to look at verses 18, 19, and 20, Lord willing. And there's two more things that God would like to tell us through the mouth of Paul on who Jesus is.